That's awesome. We're going to talk about empower to overcome. We have no kids at Randy tonight, right? So I guess you're hearing the word tonight, Randy. Empower to overcome. And it's kind of a, spinoff what we've been talking about all year, about getting deeper with God and going deeper and growing spiritually. And, I talked to someone today. I got a phone call. Someone's struggling with an issue in their life. And they said, I don't like doing what I'm doing. I know I need to change it, need to stop it. And said, I don't know how to do it. And so I said, look, we can't do it ourselves, but we can with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about tonight being empowered to overcome and how God gave us what we need to overcome the flesh in our lives if we'll listen to it. So it starts in Acts chapter 1. Yeah, this mic. I know Blue had an issue with it. Remember? Yeah. I ain't got a battery mode. There, Mel. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1 tonight and talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I was raised in a very charismatic church, and I was raised with, gifts of spirit being operated, and I was raised where people shouted and danced and praised the Lord, and it's a wonderful experience, but I want to go a little I don't want to say, well, I'm going to say, I want to go a little deeper tonight in this. Because, we tend to think of the Holy Ghost as the actions produced from the Holy Ghost, and that's not what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the inward dwelling of God's presence in us that gives us what we need and equips us to overcome. That's the real purpose of it. Thank you. I hate being tied to a cord. Y'all know that. So, thank you, babe. People always used to tell me, I've had people say, well, do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Well, of course I do. But what does that mean to some people? Do you speak in tongues? Well, yes, but that's not the Holy Ghost. See, that's a gift from the Holy Ghost, but it's not the Holy Ghost. It's an action from the Holy Ghost, but it's not the Holy Ghost. So we'll talk about in Acts 1 what the Holy Ghost is. This is what Jesus, he defines it exactly what it is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. For John, this is Jesus talking right before he ascended. He then rose from the dead. He's given his last little speech to his disciples before he ascends. He says in verse 5, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. See, do you remember there was a place in the Bible where one of the apostles went and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he says, we've not heard of such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And so they laid hands on them, and the presence of God filled them, and they were empowered with the Holy Ghost. They were followers of Christ now. They believed in the baptism of John. But see, they hadn't yet been empowered with His Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower our lives that we can overcome the sin and the temptation that's always trying to attack us. And we rely on that. We lean on that for help and for hope. And so he says, I've been baptized with John. You've been baptized under John's, but I'm going to baptize you with something a little bit different in a few days. Verse 7 says, he said to them, is it not for you to know the times of the seasons and the Father which had put them in his own power? Oh, verse 8, I'm sorry. Go to verse 8. Jesus says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to receive power. Power. Power to what? Power to be witnesses. Power to proclaim the word. Power to be bold. Power to overcome. Power to withstand the enemy. Power. You're going to receive power. John's baptism didn't give you that, but when I come on the scene, I'm going to fill you with the power that equips you to stand in the face of the enemy and say, no, by the power of God, I can overcome. It's to give us power, to give us strength. There's so many times we quench the Spirit. We don't allow the Spirit its way in our lives, and we make poor decisions. When the Holy Spirit is so clearly speaking to us, so boldly speaking to us. But we don't rely on that inward govern we got. We rely on what our flesh tells us. See, there's always a war. Paul said there's always a war going on. There's two natures always struggling. Always struggling. My flesh does this, spirit wants to do this, and they're always colliding. If we could learn to follow the Holy Spirit as our guide, as our source, as our compass, it would keep us from making a lot of mistakes. And it would break some chains in our lives. I mean break some chains, because the Holy Spirit is enough to overcome. When Paul prayed to God and said, Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh. The Bible says he prayed three times. God didn't take it away. You know what he told him? My grace is sufficient. In other words, what I've given you is enough to withstand it and to overcome it and to get through it. It's enough. Rely on me. You know, when we let the Holy Spirit lead us, we're relying on God completely. And that's what he wants, our reliance. Paul went on down that verse to say that when I am weak, then am I strong. I say that verse a lot because it's so powerful. It makes no sense to the natural mind. I mean, think about this. You're an adult, a thinking adult, and I sit there and say, you know, Randy, when you're weak, then you're strong. That makes no sense to the natural mind. What do you mean when I'm weak, then am I strong? Paul was saying, when I become so weak in myself, I become so dependent upon God and not myself, then I'm strong, because then my strength is not coming from within me, but it's coming from God, who is my source and my help and my hope. So I've got to become weak in me to be strong in him. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. See, the day of Pentecost, we go on and we read in chapter 2 what happens. They're in the upper room, they're waiting. The mighty rushing wind blows in, cloven tongues, they begin to speak in different languages. But see, I preached this before. That was never the purpose, the sole purpose of the Holy Spirit, was to speak in tongues. That was a wonderful gift that God gives for us to minister and to pray, and you know, it's a great strength in our prayer life and our spiritual walk. It's a great strength, but it wasn't the purpose of it. What did he say? I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and you shall be endued with power, authority, strength, fortitude that comes from God. That when the enemy comes, we stand on the authority of God's word and say, okay, Holy Ghost, take over and do your job and protect me and keep me and strengthen me and help me and lead me not into that temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's the purpose of it. Now, there's great benefits from the Holy Spirit that we receive. There is the gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, you know, and the gift of tongues, and there's all kinds of gifts that come from that. But the main purpose is to empower us for victory. Because I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of tongue-talking people that's weak as a camel's back. Of course, I don't know if a camel's back is weak, but you know what I'm saying. They carry people. That's not a good example. But you know what I'm saying. You know, this one guy asked me. He comes out of a very hardcore Pentecostal sect of ministry. He said, he asked me about the Holy Spirit. I said, well, yeah. And he said, do you believe speaking tongues? Well, yeah. And he goes, well, do you think people that don't believe in speaking tongues or don't do that, do you think that, do you think they're, he said something about, do you think they're, you know, they can live a life of victory as good as someone that can? I said, well, I'll tell you this. I said, tongues have nothing to do with it. I said, I know a lot of tongue-talking people that live like the devil. I know them. They'll shout on Sunday and act religious, but man, they're a beast during the week. That's not what transforms us. I said, what transforms us is our relationship with Christ and allowing His Holy Spirit in us to lead us and to guide us, empowering us for victory. Because I know a lot of folks that may not shout, but boy, they're solid. And I know they know God. See, it's not about the show out. It's about the show in. It's about who's living in you, not what's even coming out of you. It's about who's living in you. And when God lives in you, you notice it. And there is an authority. You know, I had a family in my office a couple years ago. They'd had a, just, you know, want to talk about an issue in the church. And so we all met in my office. And they were kind of coming against some of the things, the spiritual part of the church a little bit, and saying, well, I don't know. And they had a young teenage daughter, and we're back there talking. And here's where the Holy Ghost comes in. I'm trying to discuss what happened that night at the service before. They were troubled by it because they had never experienced it. So I'm trying to explain to them about the Holy Spirit, all this stuff. Well, the mother was continually just rambling on and interrupting me while I was trying to discuss it. And your sweet, humble, loving pastor looked at her with eyes of fire and said, "You need to be quiet. I'm talking." Now, that wasn't me. That's not who I am by nature. The Holy Spirit rose up in me. You ought to have seen her face. She was quiet. Yes, that's what I told her. I said, "You're being a distraction. God's trying to minister here, and you're distracting what's trying to be said." So then the daughter began to kind of say a few things, and it rose up again. I said, "You know what happened is real. You know what you saw was real. You felt that, and you're trying to hide that and deny that, but you know it's real, don't you? You know what you felt. God is dealing with you." And it's coming out of me. She begins to cry. And her mom's looking at her like in total shock, like, "Oh my gosh, we came here to complain and you're crying? What's this about?" See, the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to move, it gives you a boldness and an authority to meet the enemy head on and not back down. And you know what? The conversation ended the way it was supposed to end. They're not part of church anymore. But you know what? There was a one talking about if you were here at the time. And I knew it wasn't of God. And I had ended up talking to this individual, and they ended up leaving. And that's not my intent to run anybody out. But you remember the woman that followed Paul around that was crying out, "Listen to the man of God, listen to the man of God, listen to him, listen to him." She wasn't saying anything wrong, but Paul felt her spirit. And that it was an enemy following him and really mocking and trying to disrupt what Paul was trying to do. And Paul turned around and rebuked her, and told her to leave him alone and get away from him. See, the Holy Ghost gives us that power and that boldness to be able to just, you know, I had a man come three or four years ago, he came, and I thought it was kind of odd because I knew he went to the church and he was like an associate pastor. I'm like, "What are you doing, you know, here?" "Well, I just want to come visit you now. I've known your family a long time." "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So he came back a second week, and I'm like, "Something, what are you doing?" He came back a third week, and I knew. I said, "Something's not right." And he came to me and said, "Well, I just want to sit here, be a part of your church. I don't want to preach. I just want to be a part of your church. Is that okay?" Once again, the Holy Spirit rose up. Because you know, I understand, my job as a pastor is to protect the flock. Not that I'm always right. Church, I've missed the mark many times, and I've misjudged things. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But when I know something's not right, I address it. And so when he said, "I just want to come be a part of church, I don't want to preach, I just want to be here and sit and support you. Is that okay?" I rose up. I was standing back there between where Grandma and Kevin's at, standing right there after service. And I said, "You're welcome to come here, brother, but you are not getting my mic. You understand that?" They ain't been back. See, it showed the intent of what it really was. And it wasn't, I would normally say that to somebody. I mean, a lot of people had the mic. Don's had the mic. Randy's had the mic. Kevin's had the mic. Grandma's had the mic. I mean, I've had a lot of people had the mic. It wasn't the issue. But I knew the spirit. I knew he was trying to swoop in for his own agenda. Young, new church. Young, new pastor. I'll just slide in. I'm a veteran of 30 years of ministry. You got to be on guard and let the Holy Spirit lead you in those things. And just, as Barney Fife says, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it. And that's what I did that night. That person's not been back. Not heard them, not seen them, not called me. So now if his heart was really right, wouldn't he receive that? I understand that. No, that's why I didn't come back. So it's just better to address those issues. Well, that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to give us power, to give us boldness, to be able to stand in the enemy's face and declare the truth of God. It is to equip us, church, to overcome temptation in our lives. And listen to that. It truly is an active force in our lives that helps us. It's not about how spiritual we act. It's about how grounded in God we are. There's a big difference. I mean, some of the most miserable people are the most religious I see. The most spiritual. The most, "Oh, I got faith and I praise God." And then they're biting their nails all week and stressed and everything's a crisis. My God, you're supposed to be a Holy Ghost person, and you're always in a crisis. Where is your faith? Is it in what you can accomplish or what you're allowing the Holy Spirit to go before you? That's what the Bible says. I go before you. I go around you. I go ahead of you. I will be with you. I am in you. I mean, just let God have control of your life. Let His Spirit lead you and guide you in all your situations. You can overcome. You can break addictions. You can stop habits. You can avoid temptation if you allow the Holy Spirit and listen to that voice that's crying out, saying, no, listen to me. But we don't always do that because that flesh fights so hard. Go to the next scripture. This is Galatians chapter 5. Now, we talked about the Holy Spirit first came in the book of Acts in the upper room. His purpose was to empower God's people to be witnesses and declare His good works, declare the gospel, and to walk in the fullness of all He had for them. Now, verse 16 in chapter 5 of Galatians says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk. See, that sounds so easy, don't it? Just walk in the Spirit. But boy, the devil don't let that happen easy. Man, there's so much that comes against us, so much temptation, so many lies he whispers to us, so many distractions to pull us away. And if you'll notice, the Bible is very clear and it's very accurate. God does not tempt us, but we are drawn away, the Bible says, by our own lust. God doesn't tempt us. We're drawn away because our eyes, you know, God didn't tempt King David with Bathsheba. He didn't tempt David. He didn't say, I'm going to put this naked pretty woman out here on the balcony and I'm going to make David go over there and look at her and I'm going to make David just lust after her. I'm going to set this scenario up right here. Just watch this. Bathsheba, go take a bath. This is God, okay? David, there's a naked woman on the patio. Go look, okay? Didn't happen that way. God didn't set that up. David's own lust and his own mind and his own war within himself, he began to look and begin to let that inhabit and begin to let that fester and build and build and build until the point that, you know what? He fulfilled the lust of his flesh. And not only that, but as we know, the degrees got worse. He ended up murdering her husband, ended up, you know, lying about it and got her pregnant, and then the baby died. I mean, all this stuff happened because he was drawn away of his own lust. If we would listen to that Holy Spirit, it's kind of like driving your car and a check engine light comes on. There's a reason it's coming on. It's not, gee, that light comes on. Must be an accident. It comes on because it's trying to tell you something's wrong with your car. Get it checked. There's something wrong. Something wrong. When the gas handle's on E and you run out of gas, gee, what's wrong? The gas hand's on E. You're out of gas. It's letting you know you need gas. The Holy Spirit's our check. It's our guide to help us and to equip us and to give us what we need. We can't stop things in our lives without it, church. We can't break habits. We can't break addictions. We can't avoid temptation. We can't make right decisions apart from the Holy Spirit's help. We just can't do it. We're not that good in ourselves. Mel can read 10 chapters a minute, but apart from the Holy Spirit, she's just as useless in the arms of Satan as anybody is, because we still have to let Him guide us. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we've gotten away from that in this generation. We've desensitized ourselves to what the Spirit of God saith. You know, it don't matter what man says or what other preachers say or what's going on out in the world or what government says. None of that. What matters? What do you say, God? What do you say about this? And if we listen to what God says, we would avoid a lot of the traps and the demises that we find ourselves in. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's kind of like my analogy I use a lot. It's kind of hard, if you're earnestly praying, to be praying and sinning at the same time. Kind of hard to do that. Praying and sinning at the same time. Because when you're praying, you're talking to God. Your spirit man is touching God. Same way, walk in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? I was trying to tell this guy this today on the phone. He says, how do I do that? I said, it means you get out of the way. Because he kept saying, I. So that's the problem. You're saying, I. You can't do it. It's not your self-effort. He kept saying, I'm just not living good enough. I got to do this. No, you can't do it. You got to get the I out and realize I can't live good on my own. And let the Holy Spirit take over. It's when you step back and give Him the wheel and say, okay, God, take my life. Take my mind, you know, help me make right decisions. I give you rule of my life. It means submitting to a higher authority. If you remember Sunday morning, I read a scripture out of Psalms, which I loved. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock, David said, that's higher than me. There's a lot of people don't think there's no rock higher than them. I'm it. I'm the plateau. I'm Mr. Big, Miss Big. It don't get no better than me. And we find out how me works. Me, pride, man. You're going to fall every time with pride. We know that. So we got to go to a rock that's higher than us. That's God. Which means, okay, I can't fix my grief. I can't fix my pain. I can't fix my kid. I can't fix my marriage. I can't fix my health. I can't fix my thoughts. I can't fix my depression. I can't fix my addiction. I can't fix nothing, God, unless I let you have full control over it. And then you will go before me, and you will fight my battles. I mean, he is a hitman of all hitmans. He will go and take somebody out for you. Just let him do it. But we got to get out of the way. This is where Paul came to the conclusion after he prayed three times, take it away. He said, okay, God, I hear you. I get it. I'm going to have it, whatever it is. I'm going to have this affliction. But you know what? You're enough to get me through it. You're enough to help me carry it and keep prospering and keep moving forward. See, God never said, church, there's never a place where God says he'll take away the battle, he'll take away the storm, he'll take away the trial. But he does promise to never leave us or forsake us, which means through the trial and through the storm, we're still safe. I mean, how many times you've been in your house and a thunderstorm come over and the rain's beating your window, the wind's blowing your trees, the storm's there in your yard, it's there. Storm came. But you know what? You're safe. And God kept you safe through that storm until it passed. Storms are going to come. Things are going to happen. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be empowered to have victory and not let the flesh win every single battle. You know, it can even be for things, I know this may sound simple and elementary, but you know, I've actually used it in my own life when it came to losing weight. God, you can help me make better decisions. You can help me avoid certain things. You can help me have better portion control. I need your help because I'm a pig. I mean, you know, I've always been an eater. Never had a problem eating. Always. Man, I used to have... Back in my teenage days, I go to Village Inn. Good Lord, I'd have so many plates full of that pizza. I'd have 50 crusts laid on there. I could put away. People used to make fun of me at work. Good Lord, how much pizza can you eat? I mean, I can eat. But I have actually prayed for that through the years of Lord, help me with, you know, my weight control and help me with, you know, give me the strength to be able to overcome things I know I shouldn't be putting in my body and things I just shouldn't be, you know, doing. Help me with that. I mean, the Holy Spirit will really help you with things you seek God for. To help you, because there's things we can't help in our flesh. We can't help. You know, an alcoholic, a smoker, without the help of God, it's hard for them just to quit. They need the strength of the Holy Spirit to say, go before me, God, and you can take. See, I believe, church, God's power is so strong, he can take the desire away. He can just break that chain. Just break it. Completely break it. We even lose desire for it. You know, I can honestly say, this is a very minute thing, I know I still drink sweet tea and I do like my tea, but I don't drink soft drinks. I've not drunk soft drinks in years. You know what? I don't have a desire for it. I know some of you are Mountain Dew. You're a Mountain Dew probably, aren't you, Keith? You love Mountain Dew? Oh, Pepsi. I feel you're a Mountain Dew guy. Melon likes Coke. Coca-Cola, not cocaine. Melon likes Coca-Cola. And you know what? I can honestly say I have no desire for a soft drink. It is not even a temptation for me at all. I can never drink a soft drink again and never miss it. Now my tea, I need some breakthrough. I understand that. But you know, the way that that I have no desire for soft drinks, and I used to drink them all the time. I drank soft drinks. I was a Dr. Pepper, Cheerwine. I went through a Mountain Dew stage back in my early 20s. I was drinking Mountain Dews like crazy. And then Dr. Peppers, and every once in a while, Melanie brings a Cheerwine home. I will take a little sip of Cheerwine. I do that every now and then when she has a Cheerwine, but that's the only temptation. But I gave it up. I knew it was horrible for me. It's just one of the worst things you put in your body. No offense, Kevin, but it's one of the top two or three things, and diet includes that too. Diet and regular soft drinks are some of the worst things you can put in your human body. Do you know what Coca-Cola does to battery terminals? If you need to go open your hood of your car, if you got corroded battery cables, pour Coca-Cola on it. That tells you something. If it burns that stuff off your battery, what's it burning inside of you? One of the worst things you can drink. So anyway, Now, Grandma, you'll be happy to know this. They say just a couple now, a couple cups of coffee a day is very healthy. But you're way above a couple cups of coffee a day, I'm sure. But two pots a day, so she's got problems. I'll pray for her. But there you go. Ginger ale. But she loves coffee. I know you're a coffee drinker. But God can really give you, he can help, he can really break those desires. Holy Spirit is there to empower us. That means that what we can't do in our flesh, the Holy Spirit can. What we can't stop in our flesh, the Holy Spirit can. What we can't move forward in on our own, the Holy Spirit calls us to move forward in by his power. So walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And we know this, right? There's always a war going on, and there always will be. And I want to make a point here. Don't let holy, religious, Christian folks try to tell you, well, if you were really saved, you wouldn't even have that. You wouldn't even think that. Everybody has wrong desires. We are in the human realm. And there is no way any of us are at a point spiritually where temptation has no more power over our lives. Because all of us are tempted by something. And it's always in our face. Even in Greensboro. Am I right, Don? It's just always there. Can I tell a story? No. Funny story. Don comes in and says, you ain't going to believe us. I was in Greensboro for the last 3 days. I says, I went to the hotel in Greensboro. They're off Wendover Avenue to check in. And they were doing reconstruction. It's kind of tore up. And Don said, and the manager of the hotel says, the only people staying here is you and a girls' basketball team. Don says, hallelujah. College basketball girls. So on the way to the elevator, he just has to hook up with the basketball coach. And they take a ride in the elevator, talking about something. But anyway, just a funny story. But temptation's always there, right? And the enemy's always trying. Not that that was a temptation for Don, but I'm just saying, it's just a funny story. But temptation is always the... Boy, Mom on that evil laugh. That is true. Good observation. Jerry said, you're going back tomorrow. So we see that the enemy's always at work. And there are situations truly that the devil will try to trap us in, that if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, we're going to fail those tests. And then we always pay a price for that, don't we? How many times have we paid a price for not listening to the Holy Spirit? And we're like, even though we know, and once again, the Bible's clear. There's always a war going on, one after the other. There's nobody that's arrived to a point they're not tempted anymore. Nobody's to a point that there's never a struggle or an issue. I don't care how holy, how many chapters we read, how many times we pray, how long we fast. We are in the human form. And the enemy is always going to come against us because we are in this human form. And for each person, it's different temptation, it's different battles, different things that, the devil knows to what our thing is. And so he's always there, always breathing down our neck. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit's empowerment to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. See, we give in to those voices apart from the Holy Spirit. We give in to them. But we hear the Holy Spirit, that should be the voice that's the loudest. I hear you, God. Yes, I hear you. I'll listen to that. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to help us on this earth, give us power to overcome, that we can live a life that shines the light of God and bears good witness to our testimony. And we can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. We just can't do it. These are contrary one to the other. So you cannot do, all right, the things that you would. Go to the next verse. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these. Now, I like this. Now, this is not, of course, an inclusive list. Doesn't include every sin. Paul's given just a brief overview of some of the categories of things that we suffer. These are the works of the flesh. These are things that manifest itself if we're living apart from the Holy Spirit. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This does not mean, I'll make this very clear, because religious folks are great about pointing out, you got drunk, you're going to hell. Don't mean that. Had an affair, going to hell. Don't mean that. Paul is saying, if your nature behaves in a pattern of this, if this is who you are, this is how you act, this is really how you habitually practice your life, then you really can't have the Spirit of God in you. Because when the Spirit of God is in you, you don't act that way. Don't mean you don't slip into some sin. Don't mean you don't step off the wagon and make a mistake. But it means you don't stay there. God, I'm your child. It's kind of like a child that messes up that comes back and repents to his parents, right? I'm sorry, I messed up. I know I messed up. That's my fault. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Yeah, I messed up. There's a repentant heart. There are many folks that don't have that repentant heart, that live their lives in all these areas and act that way. Paul was saying, look, if you're like this, you're not God's child. God's child just don't behave that way. When we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it begins to transform our nature. And the way we used to be changes completely. You know, when someone gets saved, there ought to be a radical change. And there really should be a radical change. You know, there should be such a change that people recognize. You know, I went to school with a guy my whole life from K through 12, and he got saved at about 30 years old. We're the same age. About 30 years old, he gave his heart to the Lord. And it was such a, to me, a miracle. I grew up playing with this kid, and you know, he always had a real foul mouth, and just, just knew he was a sinner, just a sinner. And then now he's 30 years old, he gave his heart to God. He's been involved in church for years. He told me I was on a terrible road, you know, before I got saved. And you know what? It happened. I mean, he made a radical change. The Lord touched his heart, and he's a completely different person. Does it mean he doesn't still sin? Does it still struggle? Does it still make mistakes? But the fruit now bears the fruit of a Christian, not a sinner. That's what should happen at salvation. Our fruit should change. People should recognize you're no longer a old acorn tree. Man, you're a dogwood. Gosh, what happened? God touched me, and it changed. It changed. You know, Bob that comes every now and then from lives in Virginia, his testimony when he got saved at that fire department, he's like, I had blinders on my whole life. And it's like God took the blinders off and I saw clearly for the first time ever. Clearly. Chuck brought him up today, ran to him, and he brought him up about something about that guy. So that guy that came from Virginia, there was something about him that just touched me. I don't even know him, but there was something about him that just seemed to touch me. So I told him about his story a little bit. He's a wonderful man that had a radical change spiritually. He only came to church with Pat in the beginning. He told me since. I only came because she kept, you know how you women can be. He said, I just came because, she kept on barking about coming to church. Kept on, just going on. So I just came to shut her up. That's the only reason I ever came. And said, God changed my life. And then he moved to Virginia to get his children in church and help straighten their lives out. And both his daughters have been saved. He's been up there, and both of them are active in church. So that's why I told him. I said, well, mission accomplished. Come back to North Carolina now. But he had a radical change. There should be a radical change, and that's what the Holy Spirit comes in. That empowerment can give you that radical change. Because, yeah, we still struggle, but now we have help. Man, we have help. It's like if you fall on the floor and can't get up. I'm sorry. Somehow I may have been there. I'm sorry. That commercial should tickle me, you know. So, I've fallen. I can't get up. All right, so you've fallen. And I reach down and get your hand, and you're just laying there. Mm-mm. I'm going to help you up. No. I'm giving you a hand of help. No. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to give us a hand up, to help us, to pull us up, to pull us out, to rescue us, to equip us, to change us, to give us such power that when sin presents itself, we have help with the Holy Spirit that we don't have to listen to that lie and say, no, devil, I'm not going that way. I'm not talking that way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. No, I refuse to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit, who's my help, my comforter, and my guide. That's what I'm going to listen to. That should be the loudest voice in us, is the Holy Spirit. Louder than any other voice we hear. Go to the next scripture. Now, here's the fruit of the Spirit. And I like what has worded here. Now, notice that the flesh produced all that ugly stuff. The flesh did. But now look at what the Spirit produces. And notice it doesn't say the fruit of the flesh is love. The fruit of the what? Spirit. See, the flesh produces ugly stuff. So the flesh can't produce good stuff, but the Spirit can. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now we know, here's what happens when we get born again. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. So when we come and give our hearts to Him, we're believing that He's took all of our sins away. And we're buried on the cross with Him. So when we come to Jesus, we're burying all that sin, getting rid of it. And then we come out a brand new creation, a brand new life. We have died out to letting sin control us. Doesn't mean we don't still sin, but it no longer controls us. The Holy Spirit now leads us and guides us. No longer the flesh controlling us. We're trying to break temptations. We're trying to break sin. We're trying to break lifestyles with self-effort. And we fail every time because we can't do it with self-effort. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit steps in and somehow just gives us what we need to overcome. I've told you my story many times as a teenager growing up, as a young person. Had many temptations. I could have fell into many traps. And there were traps that I wanted to fall into because the temptation was there. Because I, you know, wow, you know, that looked good to the eye. But there were moments in my teenage life, as I would get to certain moments in my life and those decisions were before me, that I would make the decision not to do it. And it wasn't me doing that. There was such a guidance from the Holy Spirit in my life that just wouldn't allow me to do that. It's like it just stopped me. No, James. Mm-mm. And I would hear that voice, and it would drive me crazy because I felt like I was missing out on so much fun, so much stuff. And I'm like, God, why are you holding me back? I'm not holding you back. I'm holding you in. You know, I'm holding you together because I want your future to be blessed. I'm protecting you from traps that you think look good now but only cause heartache and pain. I can't take any credit for that, church. I can't take any credit for not getting on the alcohol or drug or the sexual promiscuity lifestyle. I didn't get into any of that stuff, and it wasn't because of me at all. Because I wanted to be popular like everybody else. I wanted to party. I wanted to have fun. I mean, if I'd have been at those parties, there's no doubt I'd been the one up on the table, you know, dancing around and just I've been cutting loose. I mean, I would have, you know, I'd have been a fun drunk. I wouldn't have been one of the mean ones. I've been a fun drunk. That's who I am by nature. They say that drunkenness brings out your true nature. That's what they say. They say when a person's drunk, it brings out who they really are. So if you're a big ill grouch when you're drunk, that's probably who you really are. That's what they say. I don't know. So I would have been fun. I'd have been the one everybody wanted to hang out with. I know I would have been. I acted drunk when I wasn't drunk. So I know I would have been. I stepped to Melanie in Pizza Hut when he's dating in a chair in a restaurant, started singing to her. And I was sober. Had sweet tea. And I stand up in a chair and start singing to her in front of the whole restaurant. She's like, oh, God, Jane, sit down. Oh, God, sit down. But you know what? I can't take any credit for that. I can't take credit for not going down those wrong roads. Because the Holy Spirit would step in and just keep me. And keep me and keep me and keep me. Looking back, I thank God for that. Because church, without that, I'd have been out there telling where my life would be now without the Holy Spirit leading me. They're telling how different my life would be, what place I would be in and where I would be at in my life. There's no telling. But the Holy Spirit, see, gives us that keeping power to make right decisions to avoid the traps of the enemy. Because we can't avoid those traps apart from the Holy Spirit. Listen to it. Here's the last verse. If we live in the Spirit, Paul was saying, if you live in the Spirit, you say that you are saved and you're Spirit-led, then also walk in the Spirit. Walk in it. If you say you're saved, walk like you're saved. You say you're a Christian, walk in that experience of God. The Holy Spirit is not just some word in the Bible or just some religious term. The Holy Spirit is a living, active force inside of us.
alive and current. And the same Holy Spirit that kept me when I was 16 is the same Holy Spirit that keeps me now. The same Holy Spirit that goes before me and watches after me and empowers me. But I've still got to have that ear to hear and listen to it. I can't turn a deaf ear and quench it out, because if I quench it out, you know what? I can still do what I want to do. I can go out and do whatever I want to do tonight. Well, I can't tonight because I have Aunt Brenda with me. But I can do whatever I want to do. But you know what is the consequence for that? But if I listen to the Holy Spirit, it's never going to lead me to a place I don't want to go. It's never going to lead me into sin or darkness. Never. It's hard to say no. It's hard to avoid. We're always having that battle of right and wrong. Instead of us justifying our sins and us saying, you know, us trying to justify where we're at in life, and let's just let the Holy Spirit this year take us to a deeper place again and say, God, you take over completely. I want to be so surrendered to your will for my life that I want to hear your voice and yours only. So speak to me clearly and speak to me loudly. There's nothing like getting a word from the Lord. There's nothing more refreshing than that. You know, there have been times in our family, with me and Melanie both, and even with our, you know, with our kids, and, you know, with Christian, especially lately, as God's growing her, there have been times that God has given us just a word in a moment, a word in the middle of the night, you know, a word that comes straight from heaven that poured into our lives at a moment we needed to hear it. There have been times I've wrote things to my children on paper that as I was sitting at my desk, I would just feel God prompting me. And I knew that feeling. I knew God had something to say. So I would grab a pen and just start writing. And it would be a word that God would give me for my children, for my wife, for myself. I've wrote prophecies myself before. God's given me prophecies in my own life that I'd start writing down. And it just flows out. It just so flows out from the Holy Spirit because He knows what I need. That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to empower us, to feed us, to fill us, to equip us for what we need, so you can be empowered to overcome. Let this be a year of empowerment. Whatever's drug you down last year, don't let it drag you down no more. Take